This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
An imminent leadership change brings a crucial day for UK politics and more questions for the economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, in for Anu Anand. Good morning. In less than an hour, we'll know the new face of Britain's governing Conservative Party. Boris Johnson, the clear favorite, appears poised to defeat fellow Tory rival Jeremy Hunt in the race to become Prime Minister. Whoever wins will, on Wednesday, formally succeed Theresa May, who resigned after repeatedly failing to get her EU exit deal through Parliament. Mr. Johnson has vowed to deliver Brexit with or without a deal by October 31st. The BBC's political editor, Laura Kunzberg, has more.
Two veteran Tory MPs will open the envelope that will contain the name of our next Prime Minister. The embedded expectation in Westminster is that the name will be Boris Johnson. He, or just perhaps Jeremy Hunt, will inherit significant problems, the same ones that defeated Theresa May. The Tory party is still divided over how to dig itself and the country out of the political mess of Brexit. The EU is publicly unlikely to embark on major changes to the existing Brexit deal. And departing ministers are determined to stop Mr. Johnson if he tries to leave the EU before he can do a new deal.
The BBC's Laura Kunzberg reporting there. Let's do the numbers. The British pound is slightly weaker as investors await final word about who will take the helm at Downing Street. Away from politics, global shares are largely mixed ahead of a slew of central bank rate decisions, including ones from the European Central Bank and the Fed, over the next 2 weeks. And shares of Switzerland's biggest bank, UBS, are up 1% after posting better-than-expected second-quarter earnings results this morning. To India now, where a government panel has proposed a blanket ban on all buying, selling, and mining of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum. From New Delhi, the BBC's Nitin Srivastava explains these new recommendations have a historical backdrop.
It all started way back in 2017. India's finance minister apparently had extensive reports of money laundering with the use of digital currency in India. And that's when the government really started getting serious about it. And this panel now has come up with its recommendations for the government. The government is yet to take a decision, but the panel wants a proper government-regulated digital currency medium.
There's a really hefty fine that goes along with this, too, that they're proposing.
Well, yes, there's a jail term of up to 10 years and there's heavy fines. The government is really serious because it has been sending notices to people who have been accused of violating tax laws via digital currency.
So this panel proposes banning cryptocurrency trading broadly, but it also proposes that India create its own cryptocurrency that would function like a banknote. So how would that work? How is it different from, say, the rupee?
Yeah, that's what they propose. And they say that this will be different from the rupee because it will only be in the form of a digital medium. Of course, there'll be proper documents, there'll be proper banknotes. But the panel believes that these would be used by people who are more inclined towards the digital medium rather than people who use actual banknotes out there in the market.
So the government has already suggested cryptos are like Ponzi schemes. So how likely are they to take up the recommendations in this report?
It looks that the government is fairly serious about this. Of course, there has been a lot of concern expressed by industry leaders. The digital currency exchanges have said that this is something which is actually regressive in nature. But yes, the government looks to be fairly serious at this point.
That's the BBC's Nitin Srivastava speaking to me there from New Delhi. It's not easy being green. Those words from Kermit the Frog ring true for some business owners trying to shrink their carbon footprint. One Singaporean microbrewery is working, though, with a local startup to eliminate food waste by inserting a fly into the circle of environment-saving life. The BBC's Monica Miller explains.
Making the perfect brew is both an art and a science. Christella Wang wipes sweat from her brow as she and her staff pour 25 kilos of German barley into a stainless steel cauldron. They carefully measure the pH balance with a dropper and a digital meter as the liquid turns from clear to light brown. A few hours later, Al pours a golden summer ale, a Czech Pilsner, and a heap of steaming spent grains left over from the brewing process.
In the earlier years, we would just throw it away. We had to pay to throw it away. That's the best part.
But one person's trash is another person's treasure. About a year ago, a local startup called Insecta said they would take it off their hands to feed a local species.
I was like, what is that? You're rearing black soldier flies? And they're like, yeah.
They take a metric ton of leftover mash a week to the insect farm in the center of the tiny island city. Insecta's Chua Khan Ning says it takes a lot of food to keep this army of black soldier flies happy.
Their larvae can eat four times their body weight a day, and they can eat all kinds of food waste.
The startup works with Citizen Farm, which is surrounded by tall condos and public housing units. Ms. Chua says this species offers an alternative to traditional animal feed, like corn, soy, and fish meal.
They're harmless, they don't bite, they don't sting, and they're not an urban species, which means they don't transmit diseases.
Ms. Chua wasn't trained in agriculture, but studied English linguistics at university. She learned on the job and through the internet.
It is still a very pioneering industry, so many people are figuring things out for themselves.
But is insect farming a fad, or is it here to stay? Professor William Chen is a food expert from Nanyang Technology University. He says in a country where land is scarce, they have no choice but to think outside the box.
Eventually, we'll be running out of traditional food source, so this will eventually become a necessity to part of our life.
While this may still be an industry made up of pioneers, their work could pay off for generations to come. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Monica Miller for Marketplace.
Finally, a serious heat wave has gripped much of the Northern Hemisphere, but Christmas has come early in Denmark, where the 62nd annual World Santa Claus Congress is teaching Santa, Mrs. Claus, and their elves how to be good holiday makers. Though they'll shell out thousands of dollars, data show high-earning Santas made more than $20,000 during the 40 days leading up to Christmas in 2017. I'll take some white Christmas weather right about now. In a very hot London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.